But just because we have been anointed, just because we have been called, just because, watch this, we have the vision of victory, we all have to actively participate in this champion being developed on the inside of you. Because you'll never be able to unlock a champion potential that God has given unto us unless we learn how to think like winners. Unless we learn how to see life from a champion's perspective. And what I have come to discover is that God will give you the necessary tools that we need for winning in life. But when all is said and done, he expects us to maximize those tools that he's given unto us. He expects us to use what he has given unto us so that we can create what he has shown us. Touch your neighbor right now and tell him, think like a champion. Amen. I shared with many of you over the course of this teaching the last few months that I've been reading about champions. And I've been very intrigued with this fellow by the name of Tony Dungy. Many of you, I've said this, he's the first African-American to win the Super Bowl with the Indianapolis Colts. And in this book that he has, Quiet Strength, he talks about when he arrived in Tampa for the first time and how it is that the mindset in Tampa was a defeated mindset. That they had good players, they had good facilities, they had a decent fan base, but they had bad thinking. It was a culture of defeat. It was a culture of losing that was there. And even though they had all of these good resources, they could not use these resources effectively because the thinking of the organization was off base. He was saying how his struggle was that he had to begin to establish a mentality of winning, a championship mentality there in Tampa. He says they had been losing for so long, the fans didn't even expect them to win. He said fans would just show up and purchase tickets on the day of the game. Nobody was in a hurry to see the Tampa Bay Buccaneers play football. But when this mindset was shifted, when this change took place in the organization, when he was able to instill this champion philosophy into the program, that they began to exceed by leaps and bounds. And I thought about that and I said, God, that's just how it is with us. That you can give us all the ability, you can give us all the tools, you can give us all of the anointings and so forth, but if we have a bad mind, all of those good resources that God has given of you, all that talent, all that ability, all that vision will be messed up with bad thinking. And I believe this is what plagues so many people, is not that you don't have the ability. It's not that God haven't given you something to use. But it's that we have to, watch this, get the right mindset that I'm going to win in life. That no matter what comes my way, I'm going to overcome it because God has given me ability to be a champion. And see, one of the greatest resources that God has given unto us is our mind. Scientists are still amazed today with the capacity that the human mind has. They are amazed with all of the different functions. There's not a computer that is built now that can compare to the human mind. This ability that all of us have on today. And because this is a resource of so great importance, it becomes, watch this, a target upon the devil's list. Because the devil understands that if I can get your mind, if I can get you thinking bad, if I can get you thinking the wrong way, it doesn't matter how much money you have. It doesn't matter how many opportunities you have. You're going to continue to repeat bad behavior patterns and bad thinking because no matter how much you have, when your mind is not right, you're never going to be able to put it all together and experience what God wants you to experience. I was reading last night Deion Sanders' book where he was talking about how it is that he was going from Atlanta to San Francisco and everybody was calling his name and he would turn on the TV commercials and he'll start seeing himself on 4 and 5 different commercials at the same time. But he said, I had all of this stuff. I had Lamborghinis. I had women. I had all of these different things. He says, but I would sit in the practice there in San Francisco and I would just cry with my helmet on because with everything I had, I still couldn't be fulfilled. boy, isn't that a crazy thing to have everything in the world but don't even have the ability to possess your own soul? And see, that comes with a messed up mind. Lord, don't let me get everything in life and lose my mind, because you can have all of the accoutrements in life. You can have everything you need, but if your mind is not right, if your mind is not focused, if there's no peace in your life, none of that stuff will begin to satisfy you. You have to get your mind right if you're really going to be a champion in life. Boy, look at your neighbor and tell him with an attitude, get your mind right. Get your mind right. See, God, he expects us. Hear this now. Because for many of us, he's given us so much. God. You right now, I don't know who you are, but you have everything you need. You just have to get your mind right. Because our mind colors our world. That's what your mind do. Your mind, it colors your world. If your mind determines how you see a thing, it colors your world. Your mind can motivate you to win. Your mind can motivate you to overcome bad situations. Your mind can motivate you to turn a negative into a positive, or your mind can discourage you to defeat. Your mind can lead you into depression. Don't you know psychologists say that if one little thing goes wrong in your psyche, it can mess up your whole world. We are one mistake away from being that person on the side of the road talking to yourself when your mind is messed up. That's why when you come into the house of the Lord, I don't care if you didn't get a promotion. I don't care if you didn't roll up in a new car. I don't care if you don't have nothing to wear for Easter. You ought to come in and say, Lord, I thank you that I'm clothed in my right mind. Because with all the hell you done been through in your young little life, you should be crazy. But God has kept you far beyond the giving you of material things. He's kept your mind. Oh, somebody lay hands on yourself and say, God, thank you for my mind. Thank you for my mind. Because, oh God, he the devil will attack you in the area of your mind. Mm-hmm. That's the mind is his battlefield. That's where the devil works out at. He works out in your mind. Carter G. Woodson said this in his book, The Miseducation of the Negro. Carter G. Woodson says, whoever controls a man's mind controls his actions. And so the devil is saying, I don't have to come and attack you from the outside in. I'm going to attack you from the inside out. So while you're trying to put an alarm system on your house and an alarm system on your car, you need to put an alarm system on your mind. You need to have something on your mind where you won't think them thoughts and you won't embrace them fears and you won't give in to that discouragement, because your mind controls everything. And whatever you're facing today, my brother or sister, what's going to determine how you come out of it is the position of your mind. Oh, because you can come out of it. Oh, touch your neighbor right now and say, you can come out of this, yeah. That's it. Speak that. Oh, you can. There's no such thing as can't. With God, all things are possible. No, you can turn that situation around. You can live after that. You can recover from a fall. You can, oh God, rebuild your life after your life has been shattered. You can recover, but your mind has to be in the right place. You have to have a mind of a champion. And so Paul says, watch this, he says, be not conformed to this world. Hear this, Christians. Don't be, that word conform means pressed in. Don't be squeezed into the thinking or the mode of operation of this world. He says your mind has to be renewed. And the Lord was speaking to me last night, because he says what happens is, the reason why so many Christians are experiencing bondage, are experiencing defeat, are being held up, is because your spirit is saved, but your mind is not developed. See? And you can have a saved spirit and be hung up on crack. I know you think you can't do that, huh? You think that, though the crackhead going to hell. No, you can have a saved spirit, but when something has your mind in bondage, Y'all don't feel this. That your spirit can be saved. Yeah. Like Tiger Woods said the other day, and you just can't stop. Don't laugh, because we got some Tiger. Look at your name and say, "What's up, Tiger?" We got some people that your issue may not be his issue, but when that spirit gets a hold of your mind, it's like you think that you need it, you think that you gotta have it, and you save, you love the Lord. And it's like Paul says, "When I would to do good, evil is always there, and the good I wanna do, I don't do, but the evil that I don't wanna do, that's the thing I do, because my mind messed up." And if you're going to live like a champion, you got to get free in your mind. Oh, boy, and I think some freedom is going to take place in this room today, because the Lord says your soul and your mind got to work together as a team. And so he's telling them, he says, you got to have renewed thinking. See, renewed thinking. Because some of us, we've experienced defeat for so long. And now you come to church, you hear this. And it ain't nothing but a little pep rally for you. Because you don't let the scripture sink down into your spirit and change the way that you operate. See, you know, and that's why I say this all the time, and y'all think I'm being funny, that if your church can't change you, you need to change churches. Because the word that's supposed to be going forward, it should day by day be causing you to change. And the only way you become changed is when your mind, when your mind experiences a change. And so this is where the devil attacks us. And unless we embrace renewed thinking, we're going to be locked into the same behavior patterns. We're going to be waddling in the same season of mediocrity, never able to get ahead. See, it's going to produce this pattern of temporary success and then permanent defeat. You're going to pray for victory and breakthrough and newness, but it'll always elude you, because the prerequisite for newness, the prerequisite for winning, is championship living and championship thinking. See, bad thinking, you know what it does? It produces a stronghold in your life. Bad thinking produces a stronghold of thinking, I can't change. I can't get better. You know what it does? This is the danger of thinking bad. This is how important this is. Because see, when you think bad, number one, you won't even release your God-given potential. You hear this word, but this word don't mean nothing to you. Why? Because you got bad thinking. And bad thinking will corrupt a good thing. You won't release your God-given potential. Number two, you will always follow the path of least resistance. When you have bad thinking, it's a stronghold. You're going to follow the path of least resistance, the thing that requires the least amount of work, the least amount of effort. That's what you're going to begin to do. Some of you know, when we was in college, we determined our major by what has the least amount of math. General studies look good to me. Amen. Why? Path of least resistance. Number three, you will make excuses for your failures and your lack of success. You become highly developed. When your mind is in bondage, you have more excuses than the law allow of why you can't do what God has assigned you to do. Well, I don't have this, and my daddy wasn't there, and this happened to me, and this walked out on me, and this didn't happen, and I didn't get financial aid, and I didn't get this, and the man don't let you get ahead, and all of these different things, and them Republicans, and you start being political and everything now, because you're making excuses as to why you have such bad thinking. Look at your name and say, "Would you please get your mind right? The devil made me do it." No, the devil don't make you walk around with your pants on the ground. You do that. The devil ain't make you smoke that. You smoke that. And then you mad because they fired you. Because now, see, they don't never want nobody. No. You have to get your mind right. Because bad thinking will mess up a good opportunity for you. See, number four, you'll begin to discourage others who try to succeed. That's how you know you're in bad thinking, because now you become a closet hater. That anybody else who you're trying to see that they're bettering themselves, even if that's your wife or your husband, you start hating on them. You start saying they think they too much now. Look at them. What, you going to make it out the hood or something? What, you going to get a degree? You barely got out of high school. They become secret haters. Number five, dangers of bad thinking. You scale back your vision and your expectation, and you rob yourself of what God wanted to do through you. You scale back your expectations, and you rob yourself of what God wanted to do through you. Why? Because your mindset was messed up. Oh, Lord. Somebody say, Lord, get my mind right. Amen. That's what happens. And the devil, he attacks us in several different ways. Several different ways. Let me give you some mental strongholds. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, if you have your Bibles. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Get your mind right. Begin to think like a champion. Paul says, I don't fight as one who beats the air. I'm strategizing. I'm getting myself together. I don't want to be a public success and a private failure. I don't want to have everything and people think I got it going on, but you don't know, if you crawl inside my head, I'm a mess. Second Corinthians chapter 10. Where I told you to go? Okay. Verse number what? Because you see it on the screen. I ain't even said that. Look at this. 2 Corinthians 10 and verse number 3. It says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, are not weak, but mighty in God for pulling down what? Casting down what? Underline that. Arguments. Huh? And every high thing that exalts itself against what? The knowledge of God. Bringing every what? Every what? See this? Look, he's teaching them mental endurance. Every thought, you have to bring it where? Into captivity to the obedience of Christ. See, your bad thinking becomes a stronghold. Listen, and this stronghold perpetuates itself from generation to generation to generation to generation. And it doesn't matter how many government programs are issued out. It doesn't matter how many stimulus packages are given. No matter how many checks you receive in the mail. No matter how good the education system is. It perpetuates itself from one season to the next because the mindset of the person hasn't changed. How does he do this? He does it in several ways. Number one, he does it by giving us corrupt thinking. Let the church say corrupt thinking. That's it. Carnal thinking. Corrupt thinking. What is corrupt thinking? Corrupt thinking is thinking that goes against the will and the word of God. Corrupt thinking. The thinking. Remember, whoever controls the mind. If your thinking is corrupt, your behavior going to be corrupt. If your thinking is corrupt, your outcome, how you look at things, are going to be corrupt. This is corrupt thinking. Thinking that is controlled by hearsay. Thinking that is controlled by myths, by whisperings of the devil. And every person in here today, no, you're not crazy, but the devil whispers to you. Elbow your neighbor and tell him, you're not crazy, you're not crazy. No, he whispers to you. He whispers to you. And see, whose report are you going to believe? When he tells you you're going under, when he tells you you can't do it, when he tells you your child's going to fail, whose report are you going to believe? Are you going to adopt that corrupt thinking? And let me help somebody, because the devil is so bent at getting you, that he won't just attack your mind when you're awake. But he'll mess with you in your sleep. Oh, I don't know who that is for. That you wake up and say, why in the world was I dreaming that? You wake up and the spirit of fear is all over you. And the spirit of, you don't even want to get out the bed because the devil has messed with your mind. And I tell people all the time, and I learned I had to do this as well. You got to cover your mind before you fall asleep. You got to say, Lord, now that I'm going to sleep, I want you to keep my mind. Because some stuff don't happen to you while you're awake. Some stuff he gets you in your dream. And you wake up and you can't remember it. But then the spirit of fear is all attached to you. Because you've been attacked in your dream. It's spiritual. It's spiritual. And you have to lay hands on your own self and say, Lord, keep my mind before I go to sleep.